Yes, welcome to the social program this morning. The basis of the program centered around the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Muhammad Abdulrahman Al-Arifi. Maulana Ibrahim Bamsab joins us on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Muftisab, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam to you and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Maulana, this time of the year that we have just before Ramadan for ulama like yourself, ulama that deliver lectures, is it a rather busy time where people have you have the 15th of Shaban program and then some masjids and some communities wanting to have some programs to motivate the musallis and the communities before Ramadan? So is it a busy time of the year?
Yes, man. It also depends on a lot of how you deal with it. Firstly, it is a busy time of the year, and of course, normally when you are part of an organization, you also have responsibilities with regard to fundraising.
Sure.
And also many communities would like to have an interaction with the organization. And alhamdulillah, because of that, we have to do a lot of traveling. And alhamdulillah, I had the good opportunity of doing some traveling during the course of this week. I had an opportunity to go to my home province and very good interaction and meeting with the community, which I always enjoy. It's part of my, I won't say it's something that I like to do and look forward to meet people and interact with them. So it was a good time to be in what we used to previously call Portis, now Makopani, or Petersburg or Polokwane. So, and inshallah, tomorrow we're going to Witbank. So alhamdulillah, it has been a busy time of the year. Now, also in Ramadan, normally you do get a lot of invitations to do speaking. Previously, I used to consider those invitations, but as you perhaps grow older, I don't know, maybe it's not maybe a good thing to say, but it's a reality also. I have not been very keen to take speaking engagements in Ramadan. There's been many invitations that come from abroad, but mostly in Ramadan, I like to stay in the home masjid, in Newtown Masjid. So that's how it is. So it does become taxing in the sense that there's a lot of invitations, some of which you can accommodate, some of which you can't accommodate. So that's how it is.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, looking at the title of the book, Enjoy Your Life, and then chapter number 64, Humility or Humbleness. And the first thing that comes to one's mind is that what does humbleness have to do with enjoying your life?
Well, there's no doubt it has a tremendous amount to do. The person who is, humble, he will not only make his own life, I would say, enjoyable, but he would make the life of other people around him, comfortable. Whereas a person who is proud and arrogant might have a high notion of himself, but in reality, he would make the life of other people around him very, very uncomfortable, because they will find it very difficult to deal with him because of his pride and arrogance. And may Allah Ta'ala always keep us away from pride and arrogance. On the aspect of being, I see that the author and the translation has called it humbleness. Some people like to use the word humbleness, some people like to use the word humility. Marhum, a very good friend of mine, may Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor, someone who was very, very highly regarded in our community, who had achieved great in his field, who had become a judge, Judge Muhammad Jajbai, rahimahullah, may Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. I remember him when he used to come to Newtown to talk, and whenever he used to use the word humble and humbleness, he always used to call me aside and say, the word is humility, better to use the word humility. You can be humble, but when you use the word humbleness, the better word to use is humility. And I always used to wonder about that, and I see sometimes people do use the word humbleness, although if you look at it, humility seems to be a slightly better expression. And sometimes it's always, I always like to hear feedback from people with regard to words and maybe how you have expressed yourself. I was in Polokwane, and I spoke about the responsibility of Muslim business. And alhamdulillah, there were a lot of people who gave me different types of feedback. And I came back to the office this morning and got a long email with regard to a person who had commented on the talk and felt that what were the points that were useful and how it was useful and how it has changed his mindset. So alhamdulillah, it gives you a sense of satisfaction that people are listening and they are commenting on it. And this reminds me of someone who, while I was in Polokwane, had the opportunity of going to a very, very dear person to me by the name of Dr. Myatt, who had passed on, and his family and his elderly wife. I recall how he used to, take aspects and say that this is what you are supposed to do and how you are supposed to say it. And one of his favorite things is to say, don't ever use etc. in your speech. Etc. It's a written word, it's not a spoken word. Mm. Don't ever say that, etc., etc., etc. You say that does not go down well with people who are purist from the language point of view. So yes, Maulana, the word humbleness has been used by the author. Perhaps we will use it interchangeable with the word humility.
Maulana, you spoke about, the feedback that you received and appreciating the positive feedback in terms of, people outlining points that possibly could be of a benefit to you. Now, on the one hand, these people, where you enjoy the feedback. On the other hand, you have people who perhaps ask for feedback because they want praise. And how important is it, if we want to develop qualities and we want to rid ourselves of bad qualities, that we ask people genuinely for feedback and not with the hope of getting some praise, but really to improve ourselves?
Constructive criticism is always good. I recall a statement of Maulana Thanvir Rahmatullah Ali, which is so, so amazing. And some of the statements of our ulama and our scholars do clarify and crystallize matters. So Maulana Thanvir Rahmatullah Ali used to say that it's part of sincerity. It's part of sincerity that for you, Madih and Ram is completely equal. It's part of sincerity that a person who praises you or the person who criticizes you, it doesn't have an impact upon you. That is part of sincerity. That a person who praises you, he doesn't make you proud and arrogant, and a person who criticizes you doesn't make you feel despondent. You know the reasons why you have done something. So he said it is part of sincerity that praise or criticism does not deter you in any way. That is part. So when you do get a situation when people praise you, it should not impact upon you, and when people criticize you, unnecessarily also should not in any way deter you, because you know your limitations, you know your intentions, and that is how we are supposed to be. That praise or criticism does not make us change our stance. Yes, we do listen to criticism if it's constructive, and if necessary we will change. But we will not, be deterred by unnecessary criticism or minor criticism, which sometimes does not have any justification.
Mullah, there's a message that comes through from one of the listeners saying that the statement of Mullah Shafi Thanvi reminds me of a quotation which says that true humility is being able to accept criticism as graciously as we accept compliments.
Yes.
So I think it's just a further elaboration on that point.
And sometimes someone has very, very beautifully said, I think it was one of our scholars who sometimes someone criticized him justified, and when some of his students asked him, so he said, why should I take it to heart? Many a times we have been praised for things that we are not worthy of, then we didn't make a noise, then we didn't say anything. So if we are criticized for things that we are not within us or unjustified, why should we be deterred?
When we look at the concept of humility, what are we really talking about? How do we define it? What is expected of a person?
Well, I think it's maybe difficult to define it. I suppose humility would be something that people would say. So, see, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, "Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur." Allah does not like those who are proud and arrogant. So there is a clear-cut injunction that Allah does not like the attribute of being proud and arrogant. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, man kana fi qalbihi mithqal wa habbatin min khardalin min kibar. Whoever has an atom of pride within him, he will not enter into Jannah. Now, it's a very strong statement. But Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has explained it. He said, you look at it, it might sound that, even if you have an iota of pride, you will not go into Jannah. But he said, pride is Shaitan's, he uses pride that consumes the entire righteousness of a human being. And he gave example, he said, perhaps every evil attribute, you will find that it has its genesis and it has its basis on pride. So he gives examples. So he said, see, for example, a person who becomes angry, you will see normally times anger is because of pride. You do not become angry with those who are superior to you. You only tend to take out your anger against those whom you feel are inferior to you. No one gets angry with his boss, or even if he gets it, he will keep it inside. So pride becomes the means of anger and venting your anger. Many times if you can't vent your anger, then inside you become consumed by jealousy, hatred. So that is also because of, pride. Then many a times you will find that, disbelief is also because of pride. So you will find that Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. That Allah Ta'ala told Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, after Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, Adam alayhi salam told Iblis to make sijda unto Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, and Iblis refused, wastakbar, because of pride. And he told unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ana khayrun min, I am better than him. So this is an aspect that tells you that although if you take the hadith, man kana fi qalbi mithqalu habbatin min khardal min khardalin min kibar, aw kama qal, whoever has an iota or an atom of pride, it will not allow him to enter into Jannah. It might seem very strong, but in reality, an atom of pride consumes the entire righteous nature of human beings.
Certainly. Listeners, if you have any thoughts on the topic of humility, any quotations, people that you admire for their humility, people that, what is it that attracts you or draws you to the quality of humility, do call in on 011-854-1548, or you can send a message to 072-786-1548. Now, Mullah, when we look at the life of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the author has in the book quoted some examples of the humility of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps Mullah can take us through some of that.
Yes, he's given some. The way author, alhamdulillah, what he does is that he takes certain individual incidents and he speaks about it. And he said, I was in a gathering with few elite people. One of them who saw himself self-sufficient began to speak, during which he said, I passed by a worker and he extended his hand to shake my hand. I hesitated a little but then shook his hand. He then said with all pride, although I do not tend to shake hands with anyone and everyone. MashaAllah. Can you imagine what he said? I do not shake hands with anyone or everyone. As for the Messenger of Allah, a weak slave girl would meet him on his way and complain of her owner's oppression and the amount of work she had to do. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would set out with her to see her owner and to mediate on her behalf. He used to say, no one with an atom's weight of arrogance will enter Jannah. How many times is it that we hear people say, dear brother, so and so is arrogant and thinks far too much of himself. They hate and condemn him for his attitude. Although the proud person might still have a very high notion of himself, he doesn't realize that in the eyes of people he is losing his esteem and his aspect of what he feels that he is proud and he is, in a very high station. But in reality, the people around him see it and they do not look upon him very favorably because of that. You may ask a person, why don't you ask your neighbor's help? And he would say, he is very arrogant with us. He does not even like to speak to us with a straight face. How hated these people are, those who are arrogant and talk down to others. How rejected is the one who transgresses because he sees himself as self-sufficient. Someone who thinks that I don't need anyone. And because that is what the author has made mention with regard to it. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِيَدْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Human being has become rebellious because he feels that he is independent. He doesn't need anyone. Allah has made us such that we are creatures of need. And because we are creatures of need, we need one another in our life to be able to exist and to be able to carry out our functions. So when a person starts thinking, I don't need anyone, the way you hear sometimes people speaking, yes, istighna'iyat in the sense that Allah must not make us dependent upon anyone is a good thing. But in this sense that you feel yourself self-sufficient, the Quran itself has made mention with regard to it as a means of, being rebellious to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find that a person who is arrogant, he becomes detested amongst people. And I say, maybe, Mona, you ask the question, how does it fit in to the aspect of how to enjoy your life, then definitely does come into it, because we find that a person who has humility, who is humble, then such a person is well liked by people. Where the person who is proud and arrogant, although he has a high notion of himself, people stay away from him and people do not have a favorable impression about him.
Certainly, it all ties in, and that is, giving us the guidelines in terms of how to live our lives in this world fruitfully and successfully, enjoyably, and also taking over that with us to the Akhirah. More in terms of, people asking the question on humility and how would we define it. The author spoke about this particular person who didn't consider it to be, or considered below his dignity to greet, an ordinary person. So would you say that one of the signs of one of the important aspects of humility is to be willing to greet everyone and anyone?
Well, that would be one of the aspects. I mean, see, we shouldn't be generalizing. There are certain times people, I've seen many a times when ulama come, and there are personalities who come. Now there's an audience of 400, 500, sometimes up to 1,000 people. Now obviously, for someone who is not well and is now, many times in an elderly age, for him to greet each and everyone, and everyone would like to greet such a person with a personality, and he's a... Now sometimes it becomes very difficult. So you'll find ulama, at the end of the talk, the host will say, see, we can understand people's desire to meet with the alim, who is a great scholar, who is a great pious person, but it's not possible. The guest has come, he's only come in now, he had a very hectic day, so please refrain from each and everyone trying to touch him and make salam to him. 1,000 people making salam to a person becomes quite difficult. So the alim would say, alright, I'm making salam to all of you. And you say, lay loud, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now there are circumstances. You can't say that is because of pride. It's because there is a situation where a guest has had a hectic day. He is now giving a talk. He's just given a talk for over an hour. Now each and everyone wants to greet him. So there is a situation sometimes that you make it easy for the guest by allowing him to go by without each and everyone insisting that they want to greet him by personally. So sometimes there are these situations. I apologize for that. So, yes, but of course to stay away from people and to stay away from greeting people because you feel yourself superior to them. Oh, I don't greet people who are not in my same category. Obviously, that is pride and arrogance that we should stay away from.
Certainly. Let us go for our break, and we continue with the discussion after the break. And you can continue sending your messages in as well as calling into the program. Yes, it is the social program, and you can continue contributing to the program. Our topic this morning from the book, Enjoy Your Life, Humility, and which is the 64th chapter. There's a message that has come through from one of the former students of Darulum Zakaria, Mulana Muhammad Lockhart, and I've asked him for his name, and he then gave it. And he said that, talking of role models in humility, my Honorable Ustad Mufti Muhammad Ali Bhopali Sahib at Darulum Zakaria, he is a living example of humility for me and my Saatis. So what do you pick up from this, Mulana, that there are individuals within our own communities who people do admire the humility?
No doubt whatsoever, Mulana. Mulana, you asked the question before the break, and I was just giving consideration to it. Sometimes you wonder if you can understand the importance of something by its opposites. And maybe we'll use the opposite of humility to be able to understand humility. But of course, we would really appreciate from the listeners, if there are examples that they would like to give, it'll be something so beautiful. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Muhammad Ali Bhopali is undoubtedly one of those people who oozes humility and is such a great example. And sometimes when we do see such people, it does remind us greatly on the importance of and attributes of humility, because those are the type of people who stand out amongst us, that we will remember them because of the humility.
We do have a caller on the line, Mulana. Let's go to the caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Chi, I would like to say something. Chi, it's hate no one, no matter how much they wronged you. Live humbly, no matter how wealthy you become. Think positively, no matter how hard life is. Give much, even if you've been given little. keep in touch with the ones who have forgotten you and forgive those who have wronged you. And do not stop praying for the best for those who love you. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the dear of children.
Jazakallah so much. Yes, that is a statement that does come around in the WhatsApp groups, and there is no doubt whatsoever, Molana. It is one of the beautiful statements, and maybe we could just repeat it for the benefit of the listeners.
Yes, Molana, do you have it at hand?
No. Did it come to you Did it come through to you by message or obviously on the phone? I will try and get it, inshallah, and read it again.
Inshallah.
Or maybe the caller could just maybe send it to one of our phones, or maybe we could just repeat the phone numbers.
Inshallah. We'll continue taking that. Someone asking the question, Molana, that we talk of humility, and on the other end, there is the aspect of arrogance and pride. Now, what is the difference between confidence and arrogance?
Confidence is it. Let me start off by making mention with regard to it, that there are two points which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, in the Hadith literature, we find. And maybe we will find an answer to the caller who has asked this question. One is, we find the word ujab used in the Holy Quran, right? لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَا كَثِيرَةِ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنِ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. Allah ta'ala helped you on many occasions, and especially in the occasion of Hunayn, when your numbers pleased you. The word ujab in English is translated, I think the best word to translate it would be conceitedness, to have a very high notion of yourself. Now, conceitedness is to do with your own self, to have a very high notion. I am very great. I am also someone. I am Mr. Somebody. You know, don't regard me as someone trivial. Do you know who I am? Yes, we know who you are. Who are you? Your beginning was a dirty drop of fluid. Your end is going to be a lifeless corpse that, if it's going to be left into the qabr, is going to be completely decomposed and is going to be eaten up by the ants. And in between, you go around with a bowel that is full of filth. That is your reality. And as much as people sometimes find it offensive, that is the reality. What is our reality? Do you know who I am? Yes, that's who you are. You are a human being who have got all of these type of weaknesses. But we don't tend to realize it. So what we say, the first aspect is ujab, to be able to have that type of conceitedness. I'm someone. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said there are three spiritual qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. And one of them is conceitedness. Mu'tanu rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, jab aadmi apne ko bara samajhne lagta hai, to khuda ki nazar mein gir jata hai. When a person starts thinking highly of himself, then he falls down in the esteem of Allah. The more humble you are, the more humility you adopt, the more you are raised in the esteem of Allah. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. He who adopts humility, Allah Ta'ala enhances his respect and dignity. But we don't even adopt humility with the intention of becoming enhanced. Humility should not be something that you are conscious about. The moment you are conscious about your humility, that is pride. The moment you are conscious about your humility, that is pride. So what do we do, keep in mind with regard to this, is that this aspect is surface conceitedness, known as ujab. And ujab is different from pride and arrogance in this sense, that but conceitedness then leads to pride. Pride is a conscious effort and an understanding and a thinking that I am more superior than the next person. So pride requires another person. Conceitedness does not necessarily require another person. Conceitedness is you feeling that I am very high, you know, without you regarding yourself superior to another person. But that conceitedness leads to pride, because many a times when you have a high notion of yourself, then you start comparing yourself with others and you start regarding yourself as superior to others. Whereas superiority is not your call, it's a call of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Let's go to the lines. Let's take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hate no one, no matter how much they wronged you. Live humbly, no matter how wealthy you become, think positively. No matter how hard life is, give much. Even if you've been given the soul, keep in touch with the ones who have forgotten you and forgive those who have wronged you. And do not stop praying for the best for those who love you. Ali bin Abi Talib, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, so that's a repetition of that previous message, and we will continue looking at that one, inshallah. Let's take the next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Mawlana Hafan. And Mawlana Muhammad. I'd like to say a few words. To be humble and to be kind and loving doesn't cost you anything. Always be kind to give. And I'd also like to say JazakAllah for the beautiful program. May Allah bless you all, reward you all. For the most beautiful words that Mawlana Bam is playing on Radio Islam. We all love the beautiful program we always put on the radio and to listen to Mawlana Bam. I'd also like to say Allah Pak, bless you all, reward you all, and may you have a blessed Ramadan, all the Muslims of all over the world, and all the presenters of Radio Islam. Allah bless you all, reward you all, yeah and yeah, sir. May Allah keep you all well and happy, and may Allah give you all long life, wealth and happiness, and may Allah Pak give you all in the Akhirah the highest position for the good work all of you are doing. Yeah, that's my dua for you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair for the beautiful du'as. Let's go. There's another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamualaikum salam. By this person is listening over the radio, I'd like Mawlana to just say, make maaf to your family, sisters, brothers, if you are not talking. This is the time to make maaf, and Allah is listening, Allah is rewarding. And please make maaf now because it's urgent. And we all want to go to Jannah, so please don't think somebody else is doing something against you. Assalamualaikum. JazakAllah for the program.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Mawlana, over to you to comment.
Yeah, JazakAllah so much. Sometimes it's quite an appropriate call for the sake of, on the topic of humility. Very, very important though, the aspect with regard to how both, and the last one, see, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا يَحِلُّ لِلرَّجُلِ أَن يَحْتُرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. It is not permissible for a person to stay away from another Muslim brother or sister, never mind a family member, out of hostility. Sometimes you don't meet someone for 3 days, that is not counted in this hadith. But for more than 3 days, you don't speak to another person out of hostility, out of enmity, then it is not permissible. Now, we are coming to the month of Ramadan. It's so important that we keep these things in mind. Part of pride and arrogance is sometimes you find it very difficult for a person to get along with other people because of pride. Whereas a person who is humble, he will find it much more easier to get along with people, and he will not have many issues with people. Whereas a person who is proud and arrogant, there's always issues with regard to him in his relationships with people, with his family members. Now, to ask for maafi, we can't wait for a specific day and time. We should try and resolve our issues as much as possible. But I think that the month of Ramadan is coming. We should try and see to it that we don't. This one incident of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to mind, that whenever Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to make dua, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to ask the congregation, is there anyone who has cut off ties with his relatives? So people used to ask, why Abdullah? He said, if there's anyone who has cut off ties with his relatives, right, and he's not speaking to them out of hostility and out of enmity and arguments and disputes, then please leave the gathering. So he said, why? He said, the reason is, لَا تَنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ فِيهِمْ قَاطِعُ رَحِيمٍ. Allah's rahmat does not come down upon a people in which there are people who cut ties with their relatives. And if that person is going to be here in this gathering, and we are about to make dua, because of him, our duas will not be accepted. Ya Allah, what a great warning. So the person who cuts off ties with his relatives, he in reality, he is in some way, he is impacting not only upon himself, but upon the entire community, because of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat not coming down because of his action.
Well, this is a very specific question that comes through. It says, what if you refrain from greeting someone because whenever you greet them, they always have something harsh or not nice to say to you? How do you deal with a situation like that?
And someone today sent me something and said, you be nice to other people even if they are not nice to you because you are nice.
Certainly.
Yeah. So you greet them. If they want to be harsh, let them be harsh. And really, I feel that people who are harsh and bitter, there's something that happens in within them, in their own system. They will be bitter no matter what actually happens. And let them be in their own bitterness, man. Let them be in their own bitterness.
Another message says that, talking of humble people,
I think, Mohan, before I go, also one important point is this, that we have to keep this in mind, that sometimes it's not always that a person who is, there are people who are by nature introvert. So they are reserved. They don't like a lot of interaction. We can't necessarily judge them to be proud and arrogant because of their introvert nature. And there are people who are extrovert by nature, who likes to meet people. Whoever they meet people, they are bubbly, they are laughing, and there are people who will not be proud and arrogant, who will not refuse to meet people, but they are by nature. They are sensitive, they are shy, they might like to keep a low profile. You can't judge people just because they are introvert that they are necessarily proud and arrogant. We need to be very careful with regard to making the judgment call.
No, I think that is very, very important, that shouldn't be the criteria. Let's go back to the lines. There's a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, Alana.
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum, Alana. I just want to say that... Hello?
Yes, you're live on it. Go ahead.
Okay, Mulana. I just want to say that, you know what, your words have inspired me a great deal over the years. And one of them was that if you fulfill your obligation towards Allah's creation, Allah will fulfill yours. So in other words, Maulana, it's not about yourself. Think about fulfilling the next person's obligation, and automatically you'll feel that Allah will fulfill yours for you as well.
Alhamdulillah, yes, a beautiful motto to live your life by, and that will obviously have a huge impact on doing the right thing at the right time. We do have more callers. Let's continue taking some of the callers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, Mulana.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mulana, what I would like to say is that you see people who live under their own skin and do not live with examples of other people and then break up communications and don't want to hear the truth, and automatically, Mulana, how do you resolve issues in that way?
Just repeat that.
Your communication totally broken off, but don't want to communicate, don't want to hear the truth. When you have, want to sit on a table, around the table, to discuss issues, and you don't want to discuss issues, how do you then break this ice?
You see, Nabi Salaam said, Al-Badiu bis-salami bari'u min al-kibr. Inna awla al-nasi billahi man bada'a bis-salam, o kama qal. The person who starts off and initiates salam is free from pride. The closest people to Allah Ta'ala is the one who initiates salam. So if a person doesn't want to greet with you, you greet with him. And sometimes if he doesn't want to talk to you, don't talk to him. But at least just make salam kalam and keep it to that particular level.
Yes, very, very pertinent. Jazakumullah khair for that caller.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, there's just a message for you to comment on. The person says, when you talk of humility, I remember very fondly Maulana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. He was the epitome of humility, a larger than life human being who a doctor and a beggar could feel comfortable talking to.
Yes, no doubt whatsoever. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to follow in his amazing footsteps. And it's amazing that a person, and really Allah Ta'ala keeps certain people who have such a great impact upon community and society. Maulana Yunus Patel is one of them, that for so many years have passed and people still have fond memories. And people who have fond memories are not, they're from all walks of life. You know, the ordinary housewife, the ordinary person, the trader, the person who was a worker, ulama, people who are not ulama. Everyone has got good. I remember one alim telling me that he was at an airport. And he was waiting for people to come and fetch him from the airport, who had made arrangements. He had made arrangements, so he was sitting inside. And Maulana Yunus Patel also, his lift had come. So he had gone and he told Maulana, please, you also join me on the lift. He said, so Maulana said, no, I have also got another person who's coming to fetch me. I'm waiting for him. So he was waiting inside the airport. And Maulana went outside, his lift had come, and then that person had come to fetch the other Maulana who was inside. And the Maulana said, Maulana Yunus Patel came running. He said, Maulana, your lift has come. Come, please come. I'm feeling very uncomfortable to go without you also not going at the same time. He said, I was so overtaken that here was a great alim whom we look upon as our senior, and he was so concerned about my lift coming and not me waiting inside the airport. Subhanallah. That is how Maulana Yunus Patel was. And such an amazing thing that when a people have that aspect with regard to you know, with regard to the humility, how it shines. Someone had asked a question with regard to, you see, there are many types of things. Can I carry on? Is there, yes, any other caller, any other message?
There are a few messages, but Mark, you continue and we'll take
you
it.
You see, the point that is there are many times things that are seemingly on other, you know, in two extremes and contradictory. How do we get the right balance? For example, pride and arrogance is not right. It, of course, is haram. On the other hand, to be confident is nothing wrong with regard to being confident. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا يحل للمؤمنين, لا يحل للمؤمنين أن يذل نفسه. It is not permissible for a person to disgrace himself. Yet, humility is good. So, confidence is good, pride and arrogance is not. Do not disgrace yourself, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in the hadith, do not disgrace yourself, and humility is good. It seemingly that, listen, these are two poles apart, but yet they seem to be contradictory. But that is why we sometimes need the expertise of a spiritual master to be able to tell us that this is confidence, beyond that it is pride. This is humility, and beyond that particular humility you are disgracing yourself, which is not correct. That is why we need sometimes to be able to go to a spiritual master. On the other hand, if we also utilize, you know, our aspect, we will be able to come to some balance, because Allah Ta'ala has made this deen, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made this deen a justly balanced ummah. Confidence is not about you regarding yourself superior to others. It is about you feeling confident about the abilities Allah has given you, and about the aspect of, you know, regarding those abilities as a ni'mat of Allah. The fine line between pride and confidence would be, the fine line, let me put it this way, is when you start regarding every ability of yours to be your own given talent and your own given master, and must being master of that thing, or superiority, and my acumen and my hard work, my effort, my this, my that. That is pride and arrogance. But when you start looking at every ability Allah Ta'ala has given you as a ni'mat that Allah has given me, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold me accountable for with regard to what He has given me, that is confidence. Confidence is to take what Allah has given you and say, this is not mine. Yes, I have done certain things, I have maybe worked a little bit hard, but in reality, even if I worked hard, who had given me that intellect to be able to work hard? Who had given me the time to be able to work hard? Who had given me the ability and the intellect to be able to grasp the concept because of which I have achieved superiority or mastery in a particular field? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you start referring everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not yourself, is the first step with regard to being confident and to being humble. Whereas when you start, you know, referring everything to my greatness, my acumen, my effort, my this, that is the beginning of pride.
There's a couple of messages that have come through, Ma. Someone saying that, giving a personal account, says, I went for Taziyat last Tuesday to Dr. Musa Patel. I met a 99-year-old lady in very good health. I asked her what was her secret, and she replied, don't hold anything against anyone. And if someone tells you something you don't like, just keep quiet. And don't let wealth make you proud. You are the same person. So that's one message. Another one says, talking of humility, no one gives their opinion with more zeal than an ignorant person. The person who knows it all has a lot to learn. Another one says, I feel I'm always giving and doing, but it's not appreciated or given a good face. And someone saying that,
Do it either way. Even if it's not appreciated, you're doing it for other people, you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin, Allah will never allow anyone's good efforts to go to waste.
Then the key to acceptance is humility, realizing our own fragilities and limitations, and therefore looking to ourselves for change. Only with this spirit of humility can we build a successful relationship with another person.
Definitely, there is no doubt whatsoever. The aspect, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regard to the aspect of having a high notion of yourself, هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah knows you when you were scattered atoms in the earth before, without the nutrients that came in to be able to form the aspects in your parents, to be able to before your conception. You know, Allah Ta'ala says, I knew you even before your conception. I knew you when you were conceived. I knew you when you were in the wombs of your mother. فَلَا تُزَكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't praise yourself. Allah knows who is pious. Don't praise yourself and have a very high notion about yourself, because what's the use of having a high notion in your own mind when it matters most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to find that particular superiority in the eyes of Allah ta'ala in the day of Qiyamah when you need it most. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, does tell us everything with regard to this matter is that don't have a very high notion of yourself, and humility is such a thing that raises you in the rank of people, although you don't adopt humility for that sake.
More in the book, the author has mentioned the story of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he entered into Makkah al-Mukarramah and the humility that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam displayed at that point. Perhaps Maul could share that.
Yes, no doubt whatsoever, my Maulana Mufti Sahab. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Makkah as a conqueror, he began to pass by all the passages where he was abused and ridiculed. How often in those very same passages, in that very same path, did Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not hear the taunt, "O madman, O magician, O black magician, O soothsayer, O liar"? On that day he passed through those very same passages and the very same roads as a powerful leader. Allah had humiliated those who had insulted him in front of his eyes. How did he feel as he entered Makkah? Had it been anyone else, perhaps they would have entered with a great deal of pride and arrogance. Not our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when the Messenger of Allah reached the Tuwa, he stopped while still mounted on his camel, wearing a red mantle. And there he was, bowing his head in humility upon witnessing the victory Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with, such that the end of his beard was almost touching his saddle because of the humility and the posture that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had adopted. And he used to say, Alhamdulillah wahda, nasara abda, wa anjasa wa'da, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. All praise is due to Almighty Allah. You would recall I said that the difference between confidence and pride is where you refer everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than referring it to yourself. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa could have said, I made sabr for so many years. I very patiently built up my forces, and now I have been able to come back into Makkah where I was expelled and come back triumphantly. But what did he say? Alhamdulillah wahda. Praise only be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who helped his bondsman, who helped his servant. And wa nasara abda, wa anjaza wa'da. And he fulfilled his promise. Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Quran, the one who has revealed the Quran, here he gives you a commitment that one day you will return back to your origin where you had come out from. You had fulfilled your promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدَ. And oh Allah, you alone had humiliated the enemy. Oh Allah, you alone had given superiority and given us victory over the enemy. Look at how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the Messenger of Allah entered Makkah on the day of conquest while his chin was touching his ride, touching his camel out of humility. Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, a man came to the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spoke to him regarding a matter. And he was so overtaken by awe that he started shivering. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take it easy. Why are you shivering in front of me? I am just the son of a woman from Quraysh who used to eat dried meat. Why are you shivering? I am an ordinary person. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mention is made that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a choice between being a king prophet or a slave prophet. Being a prophet who had kingdom like Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam, or being a prophet who had been and had humility. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose to be a prophet with humility. And he used to say, I sit as a slave. I sit as a slave sits. And I eat as a slave eats. In short, whoever is humble for Allah Ta'ala's sake, Allah Ta'ala elevates him. Allah only increases the honor of those who are humble.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ji. Can I?
Yes, go ahead.
Mulana Bam Sahib, it's E.B. Lockett, one of your eternal admirers, and I say that in all humility.
not very good for our humility, anyway.
Well, one has to be humble to accept giants in knowledge, and if we can pick up a few crumbs at their feet, then it's really worthwhile in humility. I wanted to just make a comment on Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahmatullah Alayhi Sahib. He was the epitome, as somebody said earlier on humility. And he also, with this humility and a great sense of humor, he disarmed a person in such a manner that you won't even know what really happened to you. You know, his sense of humor in the old Durban airport, which you must have passed many times, there was a shop called Saints and Sinners. And one day I just dropped him off at the airport and I said, "Hey, Maulana, there's our shop." Before I could finish it, he read my mind and he said, "Yes, we are partners. I am the sinner and you the saints."
SubhanAllah.
You know, that was his humility. But just on two incidents I just want to mention and for us to learn how humility can serve us. As Maulana was associated with Sanha, he used to get the odd person that used to go through to him directly, sometimes on a weekend or sometimes in the night, with a complaint or whatever it had sent her. And maybe this person believed he would be served better by going to Maulana directly rather than coming at Sanha. And if you just look at his approach, how he would handle us, he would contact me the next morning and he would say, "Listen, I'm sending you a fax of a complaint. So-and-so came to see me. I would like you please to do me a favor." This is how he would talk to me. "Do me a favor. Please acknowledge the letter or acknowledge the complaint to the guy. And then as soon as you've got some time, please answer him and send me a copy for my records." Now, in that simple thing, he's actually done a few very fundamental things. First, he has not prescribed certain things to be done. He's asked, obviously there's two sides to a story. He's asked us what to do, but the mere fact that he's asked us to acknowledge the letter to the person who has complained, he's also giving that guy a message that you could have got to Sanha in the first place. And then as a humble check, instead of telling us, "Let us know what's going on," he says, "Kindly just copy me so I know what is going on."
Sure.
So this was his style and his message of handling this. And he also answered a lot of questions with a question. You would go through to him and say, you all hyped up and you say, "Maulana, we want to do this and do that. What do you think?" And he would look at you and he says, "Well, what do you think? Tell me why. What would you think?" You know. So this was his mark of humility. And alhamdulillah, that is what that has won him a legion of followers. And he has made so much impact in the place. And he's sorely missed. And may Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. And I support your topic that you are going on. And I really endorse it.
Jazakumullah. Jazakallah so much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Maulana, if you allow us, I think this is such a beautiful topic. And there are so many incidents with regard to humility that I would have wanted to share during the course of today's program. Didn't get an opportunity. Maybe if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us alive, maybe we should just continue with this topic next week, inshallah.
Yes, certainly, most certainly, Maulana. We'll continue with the topic next week. We've obviously run out of time for this morning. Jazakumullah khair to yourself, Maulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.